Today's lesson is Perek Hamisha Asar Mehilchos Ishos, Chapter 15 of the Laws Concerning Marriage. Halacha Aleph, Paragraph 1. Ha'isha shehirshas es baila acha hanisuyin sheyimna onasa hareze muter. A woman who, after marriage, gives her husband permission to withhold her conjugal rights from her, is permitted to do so. He is not in violation of the biblical command which restricts him and prohibits him from depriving his wife of her conjugal rights, because she gave permission. However, when does the foregoing apply? Only if he already had children, and he had already fulfilled the commandment of being fruitful and multiply. But if he did not fulfill that commandment, he is obligated to have marital relations in every period. That is, according to the schedule that was outlined in earlier chapter, until he has children. Mipnei shehi mitzvos asei shel Torah shenemar pru urvu, because this is a commandment of the Torah, a positive command, as it says in Genesis, you shall be fruitful and multiply, and therefore it has nothing to do with conjugal rights. It's a separate commandment. In other words, there are two separate reasons for the husband's requirement to maintain conjugal relations. One is not to deprive his wife of it, but if she forgoes her privilege, she can do so. But then there's a second obligation, namely, to be fruitful and multiply, and even if the wife gives permission, he still has that obligation. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Ha'ish mitzuva al piri verivya avalo ha'isha. The obligation to be fruitful and multiply is incumbent upon the man, but not upon the woman. Ve'emasai ha'ish nischayev mitzvah zu. And from what time, from what age, is a man obligated to do this mitzvah? The Rambam answers, from the age of 17. That is, when he is 17 years old, going into his 18th year, that is when the obligation begins. In some versions cited by commentaries, the Rambam actually wrote the word not 17, but 18. Then the Rambam continues, V'kivan sha'ovru esrim shana v'lonasa isha, hareza over umevatal mitzvahs asei. Once the 20th year had passed without taking a wife, the man is then guilty of transgressing and nullifying a positive commandment. He has from 18 until 20 to find himself a wife, and beyond that, he is in violation. However, the Rambam qualifies that. Vim haya osik b'torah v'torid ba, v'haya misyare melisa isha k'day shela yitrach b'mizonos bavar ishto v'yibatel min ha-torah, harezem muta l'hisacher. If the man was engaged in the study of Torah, and he's very preoccupied with it, and he's afraid to marry a woman, lest the burden of earning a living for her would force him to cease the study of Torah, he is then permitted to delay marriage for that reason. And the reason, the rationale for this, the Rambam gives, is as follows, Sheha'osek b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah, because one who is engaged in one mitzvah is exempt from another mitzvah. The kosh game b'talmud Torah. How much more so with regard to the study of Torah, which is such an important mitzvah, as important as all mitzvahs combined, that when one is engaged in Torah study, one is permitted to neglect the mitzvah of getting married. That is, to delay the fulfillment of that mitzvah. This statement of the Rambam is somewhat problematic, as commentaries point out, because usually Torah study, as important as it is, cannot release one from fulfilling a mitzvah that someone else cannot do for you, and of course getting married you can only do yourself. How then could Torah study release you from that obligation? The Alter Rebbe, the author of the Tanya and the Shulchan Aruch, in his Laws of Talmud Torah, of Torah study, answers this question by saying, when is it true that Torah study cannot release you from fulfillment of a mitzvah? That is, if Torah study will not be totally neglected. One's accumulation of knowledge of Torah would not be hurt by doing the mitzvah, because it's only a temporary respite from Torah study. However, if someone is going to get married at such an early age, and thereby prevent himself from ever accumulating the proper knowledge of Torah, that neglect of Torah certainly supersedes the fulfillment, the requirement of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of getting married. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Mi shechashka napsho b'Torah tamid v'shoga ba kiben azai v'davak ba kol yamav v'lo nasi isha ein b'yada avon. One who is extremely desirous of studying Torah constantly, that he is so obsessed and immersed in it, like the Mishnaic authority Ben Azai, and cleaves to it all his life, neglecting to take a wife unto himself, there is no sin in his hand. Ben Azai, according to one opinion, never got married because he could not tolerate leaving his Torah study to get married. According to another version in the Talmud, he did get married to the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, but subsequently had to divorce her because of this same reason. However, the Rambam qualifies this heter, this license, to not get married because of Torah study. Vahu, provided, shlogia yitzro misgaber olav, that one's evil impulse, the passion for getting married, should not overpower him. Avaim hayi yitzro misgaber olav, if his impulse would be so strong and would overpower him, chayav lisa isha, he's obligated to marry a woman, v'afilu hayu lo banim, shema yavol lidei hirhor, even if he had children, and therefore fulfill the mitzvah of being fruitful and multiplying, because there's a danger this might lead to improper thoughts. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. Kama banim yiyu l'ish, b'tiskayim mitzvah zu b'yado, zachar in a keva. How many children does a man have to have in order to fulfill this mitzvah of being fruitful and multiplying? And the Rambam answers it, a male and a female. In other words, two children, one male and one female. Shenamar, zachar in a keva b'ra'am, as it says in Genesis, male and female, he created them. If the son that he bears is a eunuch and cannot bear children, or she's an islandess, she's barren and she cannot bear children, he had not fulfilled this mitzvah because he must have children who themselves can bear children. Hey, paragraph 5. Noldolo umesu, vehinichu banim, hareza kia mitzvahs piriviriviya. If a man gave birth, or sired, two children, and they subsequently died, before he died, but they left children themselves, he has thereby fulfilled the mitzvah of being fruitful and multiplying. And the reason for this, the Rambam says, is, B'nei vanim harehen kebanim. Children's children are the equivalent of children. B'med dvarim amurim, when does the foregoing apply? B'shehayu b'nei habanim zachar unekeva. V'hayu bayim zachar unekeva. Afal pisha hazachar ben bito v'anekeva bas b'no. Hoel v'hein mishnei banav heim boim, harekiyem mitzvahs piri v'rivya. When has he fulfilled the mitzvah of piri v'rivya, of being fruitful and multiplying? When the grandchildren are male and female, and were born to his male and female children. And that is true, even if the grandson is his daughter's child, and the granddaughter his son's child, he has nevertheless fulfilled the mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply, inasmuch as they are the offspring of both of his children. Avol, im hayu lo beinu basu mesu, v'hinichu echen mehen zachar nekeva, adayin lo kiyim hamitzvah. If, however, he had a son and a daughter, now both died, and only one of them has left two children, male and female, he has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah. We regard the two children as if they were one, and since the daughter did not bear any children, then he has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. Hayu lebanim bigayuso, v'nizgayer huvahim, harei zekiyem mitzvah zu. If a man was not Jewish, and he had children when he was a non-Jew, and then he converted together with his children, he has thereby fulfilled this mitzvah of being fruitful and multiplying, even though when he had the children, he had not yet been commanded to fulfill the mitzvah. And the reason for this is that the mitzvah of being fruitful and multiplying is to have children. And here, he does have, in fact, the children. However, however, it should be noted, the Rambam adds another proviso that other authorities do not add, that the children have to be converted along with the father. Otherwise, he would not be fulfilling the mitzvah. In other words, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah is to bear children who are themselves Jewish and have all the responsibilities of a Jew. Hayu lo banim v'hu eved v'nishtachrer hu v'heim lo kiyam mitzvahs piri v'rivya ad sheyolid achash nishtachrer. However, the Rambam says, if he was a slave, a non-Jewish slave, who was purchased by a Jew, in which case he is obligated to do certain mitzvahs, but he is not yet considered a Jew, until he is freed, and he had children, and he was subsequently freed, he along with his children, he has thereby not fulfilled the mitzvah of being fruitful and multiplying, until he bears children after he is freed. And the reason the Rambam gives is Shaha'evet ain lo yichus, because a slave has no legal family relationship. Any children that are born to him, as he is a slave, do not follow his lineage. And the Talmud documents this and proves this from biblical sources. However, a non-Jew, even though he is not Jewish, is still considered to be one who can have a family relationship that is recognized by Jewish law. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Lo yisa adam akara uskena v'aylonis uktana she'ena ru'uya leilad ela im kein kiyam mitzvos pira v'rivya o shehais lo isha acheres lifros v'lirbos mimena. One should not marry a sterile woman, an old woman, a barren woman, or a minor female who is incapable of giving birth unless he has already fulfilled the commandment to be fruitful and multiply, or unless he has another wife by whom he can fulfill this commandment. Nasa isha, v'sha se'imo esa shana v'lo yolda, hareza yotzi v'yitin ksuba, o yisa isha haruya leilad. If a man marries a woman, and she lives with him for 10 years without giving birth, he should divorce her and pay her ksuba, or else take another wife capable of bearing children. Obviously, the Rambam is referring to the age in which it was permissible, or in those places where it is still permissible, to marry more than one wife. If the husband refuses to divorce her, he should be compelled to do so, to the extent that he is to be punished, to be beaten with a rod until he divorces her, because he has the mitzvah of being fruitful and multiplying. If the man says, I will have no marital relations with her, but will live with her in the constant presence of witnesses, so as never to seclude myself with her, whether it is she who says so, or he, we shouldn't pay any attention to it. He must either divorce her or else marry another wife capable of giving birth. The reason why he can't stay married to this woman is because if he will still be married to her, another woman might not want to marry him, and therefore he will never be able to fulfill the mitzvah of bearing children. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Shasa esa shana b'lo yolda, v'harihu yorek echeit shichva zera, cheskas hacholi mimena, v'teitze shalo b'ksuva, v'yeshlo tosefes. If a woman lives with a man for 10 years without giving birth, and if he ejects his semen with the force of an arrow, the presumption is that the deficiency is hers, and she must therefore be divorced without payment of the ksuba. However, she is entitled to the supplementary amount, and the reason why she is entitled to the supplementary amount to the ksuba is as follows. Lo tiyazu p'chusa me'aylonish shol hikarba sheyesh lo tosefes kamo sheyizbar. She should not be inferior to a barren woman of whose deficiency he was unaware, and who is entitled to the supplementary amount, as will be explained later. However, the Rambam says, "V'im eina yorek hachetz, cheskas hacholi mimenu bilvad, v'yotzi v'yitin haksuba kula ikir v'tosefes." If, however, he does not eject with the force of an arrow, the presumption is that the deficiency is his alone, and he must divorce her, pay her her entire ksuba, that is, he has to give her the basic amount as well as the supplementary amount. Halacha Test, paragraph 9. Hu omer mimena nimna holada, v'hi omeris mimenu nimna, b'pnei she'ena yorek hachetz, nemenis. If the husband says, the deficiency is due to her, that is why we can't have children, while she says it is due to him because he does not eject with the force of an arrow, she is to be believed. V'yesh lo l'hachrim stam, al misha ta'enes davar she'ena yodaz bo bevadai, v'yachakach yitink suba. The husband may, however, pronounce a general ban upon any woman who asserts something without certain knowledge of it, and then pay her ksuba. That general ban will perhaps convince her not to make a false accusation against him when she's not really certain of it. V'im amr eini yodas imimeni imimenu ein lo ikra ksuba kmo shamarnu. If, however, she says, I don't know whether it is due to me or to him, she is not entitled to the basic amount of the ksuba, as we have already said, and the reason for it is, ha made mamon becheskas ba'olav, achetiton bevadai she'ena yorek hachetz, because the money must remain with the person in whose possession it is right now, until she can claim of it with a certainty with certainty that he does not eject with the force of an arrow. That is the general rule in monetary matters, that whoever is in possession has the stronger case, and the other one must be certain and must make a certain claim, otherwise they are not believed. They don't have the authority to extract money from the person who was in possession of it. Now the Rambam asks, V'lamin amenes hi b'taynazu, mipnei shehi margeshes im yorek hachetz, im lo yorek hachetz, v'hu eina margish. Why is it that she is believed in this claim, because she can feel whether he does or does not eject with the force of an arrow, whereas he cannot? Therefore, if she makes a definite claim, we do believe her. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Ha'isha shebo litboam min baila lagarsha achar es hashanim mipnei shelo yolda, v'hi omeres, she'eina yorek hachetz, shomim la, af al pi she'eina mitzuva al pir v'rivya, tzricha hi levanim uziknusa. If after 10 years of marriage, a woman comes forth to demand that her husband divorce her on the grounds that she has not been given a child, and claims that it is his fault because he does not eject with the force of an arrow, her wish must be honored, for even though the obligation to have children, to be fruitful and multiply, is not hers, as we mentioned before, nevertheless, she also has a need of children for her old age. Therefore, the Rambam continues, V'kofin osa lahotzi, v'yitin ikar ksuba bulvat, shalakasav lahatosefes almanasha teitze l'ritzona v'sito. He must therefore be compelled to divorce her, and he must pay her only the basic amount of the ksuba. That is 200 zuz, in the case of a virgin, if he married her a virgin, or 100 if she was a widow, because he did not write down the supplementary amount on the understanding that she would leave at her own will and take it with her. He only gave it to her feeling that he would give it to her if she would not leave voluntarily. He would be the one to send her away. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Halach b'schora b'toch eseshanim, o shehoyo habal chola, o shehoysa hi chola, o shehoyo chavushim beveis wasurim, ein ola lahem osas man min haminyan. If the husband, during these 10 years, went on a business trip, or he was sick, or she was sick, or they were both incarcerated in prison, and as commentaries point out, that is true even if they were allowed to have conjugal relations in prison, we don't count that time as part of the 10 years. The reason for this, commentaries explain, we attribute that the same sin that brought about their illness or their incarceration was also responsible for their lack of success in having a child. As we find with regard to Abraham, that our sages tell us that because he left Israel, he was punished and he did not have any children for that duration. And we find that the time that Abraham was outside of Israel is not included in the number of years that he did not have any children, that he was not capable of having children. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Hippila, mona miyom shehippila. If she has a miscarriage, we count the 10 years from the day that she has the miscarriage. Im hippila v'chazra hippila shalosh pa'amim. If she has a miscarriage and then repeats itself again, and that repeats itself again, and she has a miscarriage 3 times, hurzakol nefalim v'shema lo zachal hibanos mimena v'yotzi v'yitin ksuba. Then it is presumed that she will have miscarriages, and perhaps he is not destined to build a family by her. He must therefore divorce her and pay her the ksuba. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Hu omer hipila betoch eser kedei sheyisha ima v'hi omeres lo hipalti. If the husband says, she had a miscarriage within the 10 years, his intention being that he should continue to live with her, because we learned before that if she has a miscarriage for the first 2 times, we count the 10 years from the miscarriage. However, she says, I did not miscarry. She is to be believed, because no woman will draw the presumption of barrenness upon herself. No woman wants to be presumed as being barren. Hu omer hipila shnayim, v'hi omeres hipalti shlosha, nemenes, she'ena marzekes atzma b'mapelis, v'yotzi v'yitin ksuba. If the husband says she had 2 miscarriages, in which case he is still given 10 years after the 2nd miscarriage, while she says, I had 3 miscarriages, in which case he is required to give her a divorce. She is to be believed, because a woman will not draw upon herself the presumption that she is prone to have miscarriages. Therefore, he must give her a divorce, and also give her her ksuba. Ubecholze, mashbiya shvuas hese, shelo hapila, o shehapila shlosha, shebataina zu yischayev liten ksuba. In all of these cases, The husband may subject the wife to an informal oath to the effect that she did not miscarry or that she miscarried three times, inasmuch as this is a claim that makes him liable to pay the ksuba, he has the right to subject her to this informal oath. Halacha Yudalet, paragraph 14. Niseis l'rishon, v'shasi imo, esa shanam v'lo yolda v'hitziya, muteris l'hinasi l'sheni. If she was married to one man, and then she stays with him 10 years and does not bear any children, he then divorces her, she is permitted to marry a second person, because she is not yet presumed to be a barren woman. Maybe it was the first husband who was not destined to have any children with her. Shasim hasheni esa shanam v'lo yolda, lo tinasi l'shlishi. If, however, she stayed with a second husband for 10 years and still did not give birth, she should not marry a third person, because she's already presumed to be barren. V'im niseis l'shlishi, teitzei shelo b'ksuba. If she did marry a third person, she leaves without having the rights to her ksuba. Elim kein yesh lo isha acheres, o shekia mitzvas pir v'rivya. Unless that third husband had another wife, or he had already fulfilled the mitzvah of to be fruitful and multiply. Halacha Tezvav, paragraph 15. Ha'isha shabo lebezdin v'amra, b'ayli eina yachal l'shamash k'derach kol ha'aretz, shimush shemolid, o sh'eina yora k'cheitz, yasu ha'dayanim pshara, v'omrim lach, ro'i lech sh'tinagi im b'aylech ad sh'tishi eseshanim v'lo selidi, v'achakach tizbi'i. If a woman comes to the court and says as follows, my husband is incapable of normal sexual relations, such as that which leads to childbirth. Or, she says, he ejects his semen without the force of an arrow. The judges should endeavor to bring about a compromise by telling her the following. It is proper for you to bear with your husband until you will have lived with him for 10 years without giving birth, and only then should you make your demand. Umegalgal and ima bedavar zeh, ve'ein kofen osa leishe v'lo donim osa k'din hamaredes, ela marichin bedavar zeh ad sheyasu pshara. The matter should be negotiated with her. She should not be compelled to live with him, nor should she be treated as a rebellious wife for not wanting to live with him. Rather, the matter should be prolonged until they agree on a compromise. This is, of course, true only if the husband denies it, but if the husband admits to this, then he should give the divorce and the ksuba immediately. Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16. Aval pi shekiyim adam mitzvas pirei v'rivya, harihu mitzuva medivrei sofrim shelo yevatel melifros v'lirbos kol zman sheyesh bo koach. Even though a man had already fulfilled the mitzvah, the basic requirement to be fruitful and multiply by having a son and a daughter, he is nevertheless rabbinically commanded not to cease from being fruitful and multiplying as long as he has the strength to do so. Shekol hamosif nefesh achas b'Yisrael ki'ila bana olam. Whoever increases even one soul in Israel is as if he had built the entire world. V'chein mitzvas chachamim hi, shelo yeshev adam below isha, shelo yavol idei hirhur. The sages likewise enjoined us that one should not live without a wife, even if he had fulfilled the mitzvah of being fruitful and multiplying, in order that he does not come to improper thoughts. V'lo teshev isha below ish, shelo techashed. And likewise, a woman shall not stay without a husband for another reason, that she should not be suspected. In other words, people shouldn't think that she is doing immoral things since she is not married. Halacha Yudzayin, paragraph 17. V'chov al kol ish lekanos leishto. It is the obligation of every man to admonish his wife, warn his wife against infidelity. Amru chachamim, ein adam mekane leishto, ele im kein nichnasa baruach tara. Our sages have told us, a man should warn his wife only because the spirit of purity has entered into him. In other words, the warning should not be prompted by anger or by any other type of feeling of getting even with her for something she might have done, but it should be motivated strictly by a spirit of purity. V'lo yikana lo b'yosa midai. He should not excessively warn her and be jealous of her. V'lo yenas osa v'yivol balkarcha ela b'daita u'mitoch sicha v'simcha. A man should not compel his wife to have relations with him against her will, but she should consent to it. It should be through discourse. They should speak beforehand, and also it should be in a spirit of happiness, of joy. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18. V'chein sibu chachamim al ha'isha shetia tznua b'toch beisa v'lo tar b'schok v'kalas rosh b'fnei baila v'lo titba tashmish hamita b'fia, v'lo tiyah medaberes be'esik zeh. Our sages have likewise ordained that the wife should behave with modesty within her house, and should not indulge in jesting and levity in the presence of her husband. She should not demand intercourse by word of mouth, or keep talking about it. V'lo timna mibaylo kadei letzaro, ad she yosef b'havasa, el nishmas lo b'chol eishi yirtza. The woman should not deny herself to her husband merely in order to torment him, so as to make him love her all the more. She should rather submit to him whenever he desires. V'sizar mikrova v'mbnei beiso kadei shelo yavr olav ruach kina, v'tisrachik min hakiur min hadoma l'kiur. She should, moreover, be very circumspect with his relatives and the members of his household, so that no spirit of jealousy should overcome him. She should keep away from anything unseemly or even approaching unseemliness. In other words, she should be very modest in her behavior, so that there be no basis for the husband to suspect anything. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. V'chein tzivu chachamim shehei adam mechabed es ishto yosem migufo v'ohava kegufo. Our sages have likewise commanded us that a man should honor his wife more than his own self, and love her as himself. V'im yesh lo mamon marbe betovasa kefi mamono. If the husband has money, he should increase his generosity to her according to his wealth. V'lo yatil oleha eima yisera, v'yia dibura ima benachas, v'lo yia otzev, v'lo ragzon. The husband should not cast undue fear upon her, that his talk with her should be gentle, and he should be prone neither to melancholy, to depression, nor to anger. Halacha Chaf, the final paragraph of this chapter. V'chein tzivu al ha'isha, shetia mechabedes as baila b'yosem medai. The sages have likewise ordained that the wife should honor her husband exceedingly. V'yia aleha mor mimenu, and she should have fear of him, or perhaps it should be translated that she should be in awe of him. V'tasa kol maseh al piv, and she should do all of her things according to his word. V'yia beinah kumosar o melech, and he should be in her eyes like a minister or like a king. Mahaleches betavas libo o marecheches kol mashi yisna. That means she should behave according to his heart's desire and keeps away from anything that is hateful to him. V'zed derech benos Yisrael ubnei Yisrael hakdoshim v'atahorim b'zivugan. Ubedrachem elu yeh yishuvam noa u'meshubach. And the Rambam concludes by saying, this is the way of the daughters and the sons of Israel who are holy and pure in their mating. And in these ways, their life together will be seemly and praiseworthy. This is the Rambam's prescription for a happy life. With this, the Rambam concludes Peruk Hamisha Asar Mehilchos Ishus, Chapter 15 of the Laws Concerning Marriage.